Hello everybody, and welcome to the new UK radio show, Kevin's Cosmic Capers. My name is Kevin Smith, and it's a pleasure to be with you again. The process of becoming more aware is the inward journey, the deconstruction of the created consciousness that makes up the personal, simulated self. That would sound rather alarming, as though we were taking apart that which makes us what we are. In essence, we are simply removing that which obscures our ability to stand with the true reality. For the personal self that we so meticulously put together is not what we are, but simply a temporary accommodation for our awareness until we recognize ourselves as the free beings of light that we are, and the personal self can then be discarded. The personal created self is a mishmash of agreements, attachments, and considerations, and all that it encompasses, all that it is created to be, affects the experiences that we continue to have. It is a little like adjusting the settings and frequencies on our televisions, attuning it to a certain channel in accordance with our preferred viewing material. The television and its endless array of channels and possibilities could very well be our analogy for creation and its unlimited possibility potential. And according to what we decide, our choices, preferences, and agreements dictates what of all the possible positions in the simulator and life we choose to zero in on. We select our preferred channel and play our movie, very much like how the design of our created consciousness results in our experience, because cause and effect dictates that what we decide will be the effect that we must deal with, as it is the simulated vehicle that is the generator of all these ideas, of all these decisions. We can say we are the effects of ourselves. We are the architect of our ongoing adventure, and it is as limited as we decide it to be, or as limited as the ideas of restriction, the ideas created by others that we agree with. Consideration of the self plays a vital part, as what we consider is what we agree to, and any consideration is a restriction, because from the perspective of the ears, or the demonstration of the sun, which is the best reference to this isness, There is no consideration to be found there. Once we apply a label to ourselves, once we identify with something, once we select certain created ideas and hold them dear, then we will remain the effects of these. We are restricted in creation. For creation is restriction, despite how it may appear to the unaware. If you are in a position in life where everything you cause has an effect that must be experienced, then this surely is the very definition of restriction. You are not free to do and be as you see fit without a consequence. For many, this would seem not a bad thing, for surely, if what we desire results in the effect experience and fruition of our wants, then can this be a bad thing? Maybe not, for those quite content to chase and pursue thrills in the simulator, and it would be quite understandable that people would choose to do so. Unfortunately, for those who believe that they will simply be the effects of what they choose, they underestimate the extent of their created consciousness and the subconscious elements of their simulated selves. Agreements have very much been cemented in place through the eons of lifetimes lived, unconscious agreements that have been programmed in lifetimes long forgotten, indoctrinated agreements that have been either marketed as something beneficial and so readily accepted, or through brutal means of fear. Either way, a continuous reinstalling of the same programs of control, lifetime after lifetime, has these agreements to ideas of control very much cemented in the subconscious. Even though we return each lifetime anew, and we have a new physical body, we still harbour in our created selves all the lifetimes lived. Our created consciousness is maintained, and all that makes up its structure, the ideas, agreements and attachments. So we may think that we come in with a clean slate, and on the surface it would appear so. We have a new mind. The mind is just a storehouse, like files on your computer, and it will simply store all experiences upon it throughout the lifetimes lived. However, when the physical body expires, the files gathered in that lifetime are transferred, if you will, to a backup storage facility, which is part of the mental vehicle, and these are generally referred to as the Akashic Records, or the causal vehicle, which is part of the memory body. The movie will stop playing, as the mechanics by which experience on the physical level is had is no longer functional. The physical body is the projector, and projects the experiences and the lives we have, based on the decisions, the ideas that we generate. There is unlimited possibility of experience potential in accordance with the imagination of what we decide to effect. But the created consciousness is maintained. It compounds and becomes more so each lifetime, as we add more files of data to the causal memory body. So when we return in our fresh bodies with our brand new data-free minds, we still have all the backup files in the causal memory body, and that which is the baseline of our created consciousness, our overall ideas, considerations, and all the various programs of control and acquiescence. Consequently, the scenes are already set, mapped out for us, according to the created consciousness which will project the experiences that are its design. This is, of course, maintained and perpetuated because of how individuals, by and large, are unconscious of this process of cause and effect. The stages, then, would be unconscious to a conscious grasp of the mechanics of creation, which have us get a handle on the ideas, emotions, and considerations that we generate as causes to the effects we must experience. The conscious awareness of the process is not enough, however, as the subconscious underpinnings of the created self, where all the old agreements and cemented taplining ideas are retained and maintained, and even if we were to consciously cease all thought and emotion and assume a being in the now position, these subconscious cemented ideas will continue to effect the same experiences generally as we have had in previous lifetimes. For if the causal ideas that generate effects remain the same, then the experience consequently will do likewise. Therein lies the restriction. We are not free to create what we desire. We are very much subject to the ideas of others, which sneakily can weave themselves into our agreements. The human race was born as a slave species. The programs of ideas that are along the lines of enslavement run very deep and from the beginning. The created consciousness was constructed then from a foundation of slavery through fear, and this subconscious consideration will be very much lost in the mists of conscious acknowledgement. Maybe some of the very first tapline agreements that were ever forged. And if some of the very first agreements that make up the created consciousness were ideas that are of an agreement to being enslaved, then these will form the foundations of the created consciousness. And human history has shown that very little has happened to shake or sever these initial agreements. In fact, the acceptance and acquiescence to control has been perpetuated and enhanced, compounded and solidified, to the extent that if individuals found themselves in the embodiments of the early humans and were rather entrapped by these initial agreements of control, it's very conceivable then that they might remain as humans for lifetimes. The effects of what we decide must always be experienced, and in accordance with the particulars of the ideas. One lifetime or movie can very much run into another, as the groundwork from one, the agreements and decisions forged there, will be most aligned with the experiences possible on the very same planet. A series of rather dull, repetitive earthly sequels can be the result. For if an individual agrees and decides on all the particulars of a controlled planet, the experience will be that of a controlled situation. And as the foundational causal body agreements are retained, then returning into another physical embodiment will have the individual very much in another lifetime as the recipient of a controlled world. Very likely then that returning to Earth will be the case, and as the agreements, attachments compound, it would make it increasingly unlikely that the individual could find themselves on another planet. The real you, the real self that decides and nudges the personal self along, will endeavour to afford the personal self as much experience and as varied as possible. And so it follows as to why individuals would have lifetimes and embodiments all over the universe. But it's possible that individuals can become ensnared in certain self-considerations and agreements and limit themselves accordingly. Perhaps limit themselves to a certain species. From the beginning of the human race, the reptilians did indeed lay the foundation for control and glean agreement for it. But in the earlier stages of human history, it's more likely individuals would have their more varied body form lifetimes, that they would find themselves in all the various alien civilizations at a time before their consciousness became too compounded with human plight-controlled agreements. Perhaps the individuals who are more likely to be able to continually have varied lifetimes all over the creational universes are those that did not get snared to one particular planet. The shackles of earthly tapline agreements in place, but loose enough to give the individuals more scope and leeway. Perhaps the real selves of these individuals ensured the personal self dipped in and out of planets such as Earth and not linger long, lest they get trapped and have to endure lifetimes limited to this reptilian-controlled planet. This would be according to the real self that oversees the personal creation its awareness is in, and for whatever reason it must have decided to not allow itself to be so earthly limited. The individual having an earthly incarnation may well find themselves having a focus or curious personal intent that would be at odds with the majority of humans. This would be something encouraged by the real self. If it was to ensure its personal self was not to be mired on Earth, I can imagine perhaps an individual in the Middle Ages of human history, perhaps, having strange notions and considerations of worlds beyond the Earth, to the bemusement of his fellows. And this focus, if strong enough, may grant him the effect experience consequence of finding himself amidst an alien race in the lifetime that follows. Some individuals, or their real selves, I should say, may decide to subject the personal self and restrict it to the Earth, for whatever reasons the real selves may have. Perhaps they feel that it's more likely that an earthly, limited experience, and continuous at that, would more likely have the personal self wake up and seek to extricate itself from a very boring and repetitive cycle of lifetimes. For after a while, everything must seem so very samey. If you've had millions of lifetimes on the same planet, although consciously unaware of this fact may be, the sense of having done it all before will very much stem from the causal memory vehicle of the self. Or other real selves may consider that it's more likely that as varied a series of lifetimes as possible will have the desired effect, that of the personal self wanting to see and be more than just occupying areas in creation. Either way, the objective is, the real intent is for the personal self to recognize the real universes and its real self, using the creational simulator and the experiences there as comparisons, things for the personal self to relate to. This would very much explain how individuals who have spent many lifetimes as various alien species would have far looser shackles of agreement taplines. They still would have them, as every individual in creation has a constructed consciousness that is the taplining anchor that holds them in the simulator. But if individuals do not linger too long in one particular place or species, then the taplines of that particular civilization do not cement and become ingrained. They dip in and out of species and take on temporary taplines, but not compounded to the extent that they become mired and locked into a species or planet and must endure thousands of lifetimes there consequently. Such individuals may not have such extreme levels of control agreements making up their created consciousness, and so we can expect that as such individuals pop into an earthly existence, they are more likely to exhibit traits you wouldn't associate with the average human. To suppress a species, you must limit that species, reduce them to the extent that they consider themselves in such a way as to be practically incapable of anything other than toil the slave master's fields. Anything is possible in creation, as it is a reflective bubble for what we decide. And if an individual has spent many a lifetime as a human, that individual's sense of the possible will be very limited, if not non-existent. Such an individual will have been indoctrinated into a consideration of being nothing but a slave, and will have agreed to the utilizing of only the very limited parts of itself, the emotions and mind predominantly. The consideration of being able to do and be anything will be very much suppressed, and the experience will follow such a consideration. For individuals bouncing about the cosmos from species to species, they will have a greater degree and sense of the possibility of oneself. They would have had lifetimes as telepathic species, as an example, or those able to manipulate matter with the mind, such as the Syrians. Consequently, when they enter a human embodiment, they will take on the limitations of a more limited vehicle in the sense of its cognitive mind ability. But the sense of possibility will be retained in the causal memory body, and we would expect a far more freer expression of being with such individuals. These would be the individuals referred to as the star seeds. Basically, human embodied now, but the type of individuals that have had the far more varied array of alien lifetimes, and far more freer in their consideration of self, as it pertains to their capability and sense of what is possible. As such, it's little wonder that such individuals, although not alien now, and not having perhaps the skills and mental abilities of their former species, will still display psychic traits, matter-manipulating abilities, telepathy, and a greater ability to heal, etc. Anybody can choose and decide what they want in creation, and there's no reason a human embodied individual can't exhibit the same skills as a Syrian. But for the individuals who have spent too many lifetimes as a human and become mired in the limiting agreements and suppression of what is possible, is less likely then that they will be able to develop such abilities, even if they wanted to, as the underlying subconscious agreements to limitations of self and expression will sabotage such endeavours, or at least limit them far more than the individual who hasn't the same subconscious limitations programmed in and compounded and forming the foundation of their controlled and restricted consciousness. That which obscures the real self is the personal created self, and the extent to which the real you is obscured is the level of density of the personal self that we focus on and remain immersed with. The personal self is multi-layered, and most will only consider that they are the physical level body, and with perhaps a little consideration of the astral as the place they go to next. Part of the trap of the controlled matrix is to limit awareness to as little of the created self as possible, and this has certainly been achieved. What we consider has an overbearing on our experience, and despite having all these multi-levels to the created self, if our considerations incorporate only a fraction of the creation, then we can only experience a fraction of the simulation, a fraction of ourselves, in essence. The created personal self is described and laid out as having five levels, with the five corresponding life levels of the simulation. But in actuality, everything is an isness. Although the is is that which the created simulation is not, and although there is seeming separation between the two, that the simulator is a reflection, etc., all creational simulators are a part of the is. They would have to be, by virtue of the fact that the creation of the simulations is by the design of the is, and the created personal vehicles that reside within are moulded by the overseeing eye of the real selves that stand with the is, but have at this time the inability to recognise themselves, or the is they are a part of. This must be the case, or the real selves would not be constantly recreating physical vehicles for a simulator, for again, the purpose of the simulator is to generate experience, and through the experience, the real self can recognise itself from the perspective of a created self, by comparing what it really is and what the true reality is to what it is not, and that's everything in the simulator. As our awareness has become detached and disconnected from the real selves, the awareness that is in the creations will understandably think the creation is what it is. The trap of the matrix can then be sprung, because at one time, even though there were the simulators, as there ever are, the connection to the real self and the is was maintained. Consequently, it was far easier to navigate through the maya of the psych realms, through the personal self effectively, as the real self, still unable to recognise itself, would at least be directly motivating the personal self. The motivation, nothing other than self-recognition, and so one might imagine the process of becoming more aware would be rather a fast-track thing. A disconnect from the real self and the personal self will become rather lost in the matrix, and perhaps remain there forever, with the real self doing its best to nudge the personal self along. The issue, of course, being the extent of the disconnect. With a connection to the real self, it would be far easier to be objective to the personal self. One would have a greater sense of the two beings that they seem to be, and the difference between the two. The differences and the objective comparisons, the alternating between the two selves, would be an essential part of ultimately recognizing the true reality that the real self is in, that the real self is. The real universes of the is are invisible to the personal self, regardless of where the awareness is, within the construction and layers of its creation. And so, the only way the real universes can be recognized is through the means of comparison that the simulators and the experiences generated within them can provide. Naturally, if an individual had moved to the deepest parts of itself, the inward journey, through the layers of emotion and mind, and into the ethereal part of itself, this is the most favourable position, and the closest to its real self, as here nothing but a deep dark border, a kind of eggshell, separates the recognition of itself. Most people, of course, will be locked through their own choice to the densest parts of their created selves, the emotional, mental aspects, and with a lean mostly toward the sensation body, that is, the astral, emotional part, what is considered, what is decided, will very much limit experience in accordance. The experience, the effect and extension of whatever we are constantly deciding. Most of the considerations of self, most of the beliefs, hopes and faith are very religious in their restricting origins, and with such considerations very much ingrained in the created consciousness, this will ensure the experience will be just as limiting. As all religious and spiritual ideas are affiliated with the gods of man and the life levels they reside on, they are taplining mechanisms and ensure the awareness cannot experience further than the astral, mental parts of itself. The influence will also be instrumental in keeping individuals contained to the denser aspects of their creation, but its presence will not extend beyond the mental life level, where she assumes the position as the third head of the three-headed Kalum god. All of the belief systems have been established for this reason, as a control mechanism to lock individuals into the most limited positions possible, that they have the least chance of connecting with the real universes of the ears. The marketing ploy of the controllers embroil and tantalize the individual into a one-dimensional consideration also, that being a consideration of nothing more than the physical, literal level self. The trick here is to create constant phenomena, distractions and the like, which keep the individual engaged, to keep them chasing the creations of others on the physical level, that they don't begin to explore the deeper aspects of their created selves. The emotional astral part of the created self is the easiest to snare, as it is the part of the individual that is by far the most utilized. The individual predominantly will chase thrills and seek to forever satiate the sensation body, to want every sensation there is, and to perpetually be chasing something else that may provide the next thrill. The controllers, of course, know this, and so they devise a structured world in which every sensation possible is available, and they market the necessity to overstimulate the astral vehicle, producing a world that is based on sexual gratification. It's not that anything is necessarily bad, as everything is experience, and we decide the manner of the experiences, but the marketing as it pertains to the astral sensation body is blown out of proportion to the point of absurdity. We are bombarded with such imagery at every turn. Everything is sexualized and gradually becomes more perverse. The emotional body can become desensitized to what may have readily stimulated it generations ago, for thrills are generally at their most potent if it is something that has not been experienced before, or seldomly so. And so the thrills required to induce the same degree of sensation have to be ramped up, and the controllers are more than happy to oblige. The unquenchable want to have emotional experience tends to compound. It's not entirely unexpected that at the end of an epoch cycle, at the Iron Age in which we stand, that there is great distortion as it pertains to sexual gratification, extreme and abusive versions of it that incorporate violence, and an encouraged gender-switching society in which apparently 100 identities of gender are now available. A veritable feast of experience for the overstimulated astral emotional self, and very much encouraged and orchestrated by the controllers, hence it all having such widespread media exposure and acceptability. Thousands of children pre-pubescent age are readily switching genders with gender-blocking serums, and in many situations the parents' consent isn't even required. There was always the occasional case of an individual desiring a gender change, probably due to a very strong identity as the opposite gender, and probably because of being that very opposite gender in the life previously lived. But the extent to which it is prevalent now must have alarm bells ringing, as nothing features in the human experience if it is not by the design of the world controllers, as part of their ongoing control and creational restricting machinations. And then, as is always the case, the controllers must seek and secure agreement through their various ingenious, subconscious, and marketed means. As it must always be so, that nothing can be experienced overall unless the experiencers, the individuals, overall agree with it, in keeping with the cause and effect principle by which the simulator is based. And so all of this will have the individual locked into a physical astral consideration. If that is the only parts of the self that are focused on, decided from, and utilized, then the experience will be limited to these areas of the self. The individual will not be able to access readily deeper parts of itself, beyond the created consciousness of the mind and emotions. Wherever an individual predominantly focuses and stands with themselves will block off the other parts of their creation. They will be unable to access the full extent of the personal self and the life levels affiliated with them all. Everything is an isness, and so the full extent of the personal self, and indeed the real awareness encased within the sheaths of the layers of the creation, are all present in every new moment. Everything is about awareness, the awareness of the self, and the real universes. The extent to which awareness can move freely throughout the personal creation's five aspects depends upon the extent to which the individual limits themselves, or allows themselves to be so. For most who are physical astral, this is all they will ever see. It's like they can't see beyond the barrier of the two densest aspects of themselves. And even though they have five vehicles and five life levels, they are walking around in a kind of enclosed bubble within the full extent of their personal selves, a bubble which incorporates the physical and astral only. This would result in the stifling of intuition and imagination on the physical level, the facilities of the ethereal part of the self, beyond the created consciousness of the mind and emotions. On the real side, what individuals refer to as the dream arena, when an individual leaves the body at night, a physical, astral, limited individual would only experience the astral parts of itself. Yes, all individuals can go anywhere in creation on the real side, exploring any part of themselves. But cocooned into a consideration and overstimulation of the astral self will have them unable to perceive beyond the physical and astral life levels. Consequently, the dreams recollected can only be the astral areas of the self. The other areas, even if explored, will be beyond the individual's ability to perceive through the filtering layer of the predominant astral aspect of the self. When individuals pass over, they will automatically go on to the astral, and the same limitation as a result of being physical astral only will apply. We say how perception and recognition is required to position oneself deeper into the self on transition, to assume a position in the mental or ethereal levels. It's not so much that the way is barred or blocked, as there is no actual movement of distance or space in the isness that life is. It's according to the perceptual recognition that allows how far into the self an individual can station themselves on transition. Their experience is according to where focus is predominant, and which parts of the created self experiential creations are constantly stemming from. For the experience always follows the causes. We enclose ourselves in experiences as we constantly overutilize the astral self, and this is very much demonstrated on the real side and on transition. We cannot then move beyond the astral, simply because for us it isn't available. It's there as every part of our created self and life level must be, but we are enclosed in the experience that we have created from the astral self, and enclose ourselves thus in an astral level experience. We haven't taken the time to move beyond the considerations of the created consciousness. We haven't removed the tap-lining agreements and emotional attachments that limit us to the astral. We haven't taken the time to recognize and perceive more of ourselves than just the physical and astral. We have limited ourselves then. We are boxed into our own decided experience, and many will not even be aware of the life levels and parts of themselves beyond the physical, let alone be able to perceive them. For perception of parts of ourselves requires a similar process that we need by which to recognise the real universe's comparison. Exploring deeper parts of our creation requires the perception of it, the recognition, and we gradually move into our creation as we compare what we have known to the unknown parts of ourselves. This would be one of the gifts of the real universal guides, as they would endeavour to afford us a greater awareness of first our creation and then the real universes. They would take us to the parts of ourselves and life levels that we have had no perception, recognition of for maybe millions of lifetimes, and this would facilitate more expansive experiences and a step-by-step process through the personal self. We also will be made aware of the restrictions and self-convictions which keep us locked in perceptual experience of just the astral parts of ourselves on the real side and on transition. We would begin to shake off the taplines, which are effectively simply the creational ideas that we are deciding and agreeing with. Creational ideas, generally of a physical, astral nature, which ensures our little bubbles of limited, real side experience and positioning on a transition until we release them. From the physical level perspective, as we stand in creation, we can learn to access greater parts of ourselves in every new moment. We can place the overused mind and emotions aside and utilize more so the imagination, which will also have our intuitive juices flowing, as the intuition is the part of our creation that we can access if we get beyond the created consciousness of the mind and emotions. They will always be there, but it's a case of stepping around them and not applying emotion and mental consideration to every experience we walk into. More so that we assume an objective, detached view. For if we place the created consciousness aside and assume a position of being now, this, coupled with our connection to the real awareness through the new you song and our real intent to do so, will have us in the new nowness. We are effectively then in the created simulator with our created personal self, but at any given moment we can step into this new nowness, which is our real awareness, and it's encouraged to be in this state more so, as it is from here that we need to be, to perceive best what life and the guides are demonstrating to us. For this real awareness is the objective detached view, and instead of getting immersed in the experience, we very much maintain our position as the real view and the experiencer, and we won't be now subjecting ourselves to limited experience. On the real side, this will be more demonstrable as limited, on the physical, less apparent, and yet everything is an isness. As much as we can't move beyond the blocked in experience of the physical astral self on the real side and on transition, we will not be accessing information, impressions, insights and guidance from life or the guides on the physical very readily either. As our limited consideration and astral impenetrable bubbles will have us shielded from anything coming into our experience from the deeper parts of ourselves, we are more likely to miss the golden nuggets of demonstration, the intuitive impressions, and the input from the real awareness. In such a limited state, we also are less likely to recognize what's really happening in the world on the physical level. Our astral shield will prevent awareness of what's happening all around us. We are unable to see past the marketed fronts because we cannot see beyond the physical, astral aspects of ourselves on the physical level. The awareness of anything beyond the astral, which would afford awareness of what is behind the marketing fronts, is unavailable. And so a connection to the real awareness and the maintenance of this being-isness state of new nowness is best for the best possible discernment and awareness of what's going on, as this state has us operating on the physical level not only beyond cause and effect, which nullifies karma effectively, but beyond the filtering layers of the personal consciousness that would have us very much asleep and unconscious to what's going on around us, the rapid demise of the world. And then, from this being-isness state, we are now connected to our real awareness. We are viewing our real selves from the perspective of the personal self in creation. We appreciate also that every experience in creation is what the true reality is not, regardless of the nature of the experience. We could be buying a bag of chips, or accompanying alien beings on the real side. The experiences are a step, and necessary, for comparison purposes. The personal self requires experience to relate to, and compare with new experiences to recognize them. But every experience, be it with the guides or anything from the physical level all through the levels of creation, pertains to creation only. We will endeavour to always generate new experiences on the physical level that make sense in accordance with life itself. As we walk into something new, we can say we are affording ourselves a new view, and this will very much stimulate greater awareness consequently. For if we just do what we always have, the experience can't change. And so the awareness required to recognize the experience here and on the real side isn't required. So even if we have awareness to a point and have lots of experiences, we never want to stagnate, to stop, even if the real experiences persist. For if we stop creatively manifesting new views, then we cannot glean any more awareness. We need to constantly spark the awareness that is required to recognize these new positions. This is why the guides always seek to stretch our experiences on the real side, to encourage greater awareness that is required for recognition of the new places that the guides take us to. This is sometimes why we have real side dreams that run like a movie, and others that are hard for the personal self to discern. The more difficult ones must be in areas of life harder to recognize, that require more awareness and effort on our part to decipher. And then, ultimately, the objective is to recognize the real self from the position of this new nowness state in creation, and this falls upon each individual to do, for a recognition cannot be explained, considered, or literalized, but with the real intent to do so, the sincerity to succeed, and the focus on this endeavour, with sharing the ears, which in turn has us earn our awareness in keeping with the notion of everything equaling itself, we gradually begin to then see the true reality. And once we have the recognition of it, not all of it, as it is endless, but enough that we can stand real with it, we can supersede the need for the personal created self and shrug it off like an old overcoat. We recognize ourselves through our created personal self, and with the personal created self gone, our awareness can only be now with the isness, as there is no longer any creation or simulator encasing it, and our journey is complete. Our real intent actualized, and we can move forever into the endlessness of the isness. And that would conclude the new UK radio show. I hope you found it awareness provoking. And so I will finish with the new you song. New you.